Episode 34. Get out of here, Satan. Huh? What up, everybody? Posted in the car tonight, you know, had to make it happen. But there's a will, there's a way, and God's will is perfect. So you know what? He planned for us to be here tonight in this car. And I just pray he uses us to bring light and glory to his kingdom. So let's start out with a quick moment of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, God, we love you so much. We're so grateful for this time, Lord. We're so grateful for this day and the way that your grace and mercy is just poured out over us, God. Lord, I pray that you would use me and Chris as vessels in this moment, God, that the Holy Spirit would flow straight from our mouths, Lord, into the hearts of those that are listening, God. Lord, use this time to just allow us to worship you, God, to bring glory to your name, God, and to speak on your truth, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, God. In your almighty name we pray. Amen. All right, so tonight we're going to, you know, just dive right into it. It's been a special week. Got the privilege and the opportunity to baptize my brother Chris. Yes, sir. It was probably the greatest moment of my life. One of the top three for sure. And I'm sure it was pretty special to Chris too, you know. And it's so cool to just see the way that God moves and the way he's always working. From where this started, you know, a couple years ago, we were just couple basers hanging out at the shop, smoke a little Black and Mild, and then now today, you know, we're 34 episodes in, speaking on God's infinite wisdom and glory, and it's just such a privilege and an honor. So I just hope you guys receive what we're trying to bring tonight and what the Holy Spirit has for you. Now to you, Chris.
Yeah, no, it was a dope weekend for sure. Honestly, getting baptized by our podcast very own co-host Wally, my best friend, and then also we had another friend who actually just accepted Christ 2 weeks ago and got baptized on Sunday with us too. Wally also got to baptize him, and there were 900 people total that were baptized, not by Wally. Wally didn't baptize. That'd be nuts, bro. Yeah, but like, I mean, a bunch of pastors and stuff out there. And we told them, like it'd be, like, we really wanted Wally to baptize us. And, like, they were obviously cool with it, bro. And it was just, I don't know, the whole experience was just full of joy. It was definitely a sign of God's grace and his mercy that he bestowed upon us. The group that we went out there with are, each one of us, you know, have dived deep into the bowels that the world has to offer, deep into the sin. And you know, that whole group, you know, we shout out the Instagram. We got an Instagram now, 79 cent underscore salvation. Is underscore in between cent and salvation?
It's 79 cent,
yeah,
underscore salvation.
So 79 cent underscore salvation is the name of the Instagram. But you can go on there, you can see the baptisms, and you can see even like our group, like all of us praying together, you know, and just kind of like what miracles can happen when God comes into your life. And so, you know, I think tonight I'll share my experience. Like, me and Wally have complete different experiences on baptism, as far as like, I didn't want to get baptized, not because I was against it, but I felt like there's no point because I had already been walking in the faith before it had like been brought up to me that I should get baptized for like a full year. And then it was like a year in that, you know, people kind of started saying like, you know, you should get baptized. And at that point I was like, you know, I've already proclaimed myself. So like, all, if you don't know, all a baptism is, it's, you don't instantly go to heaven for a baptism, you don't instantly get the Holy Spirit from a baptism. It's just your proclamation to the world that you're going to start following Christ, that you're going to walk a new life, right? That it's the rebirth. That's the rebirth stage where it's like, you know, I'm going to repent now. I'm putting my old ways down and I'm declaring that Jesus is my Lord, right? And so for me, it was like I had already declared Jesus is my Lord, so I was pushing it off, right? This is what I'll say from my own experience is like, you know, whenever you do get baptized, whatever step in your faith, I'm glad that it came out the way it did, because I can say that, like, even though, like, yeah, the world did absolutely know, right, this is the way that I walk, this is the way that I live my life, right, it had been proclaimed already, and just my actions and my words, that there was something truly beautiful and magnificent about actually doing the act, going in the water it's just the symbolism of it, right? Of like, you know, this is really how I'm going to walk. This is how I'm going to walk, and I'm going to walk this way throughout my life, right? And there is some type of beauty that was involved with that, you know, that was just so much greater than what I would have thought. Because in my head, I was like, I don't care to go into some water, right? Like, what, you know, what's the big deal and everything? And it's like, well, for one, God does tell us to get baptized. So that's the first thing, right? If you read scripture, it is said, right, like Jesus himself is baptized, right? And I'm not better than Jesus. And then also just the fact of like, I don't know, dude, it was just like the greatest thing ever. You know, I don't ever cry. You know, I talked to Wally about that, because in a lot of scripture, right, like you even see Jesus, right, becomes vulnerable and he cries. And like, you know, I tell Wally, like, damn, I wish I could cry when I read scripture, like listen to, which I know that sounds crazy. It really sounds crazy. Or like when I'm listening to like podcasts and stuff, like I wish that I could like get emotionally like attached to it in a way that like really brought tears to my eyes. And I've never been more happy, I don't think, than that. That Sunday was insane. Like we did the baptism. I watched my other friend get baptized. You know, there was like the worship music going on, just a beach full of believers, like. And then Wally's mom came up to me and was like, you know, if there's anything that would show me that God is truly a miracle worker, it was watching that. And it's because she knows where I come from, and then she walked with Wally throughout his whole journey, so she knows where he comes from, obviously. And she watched two wretched, horrible, evil, dead in their sin sinners, you know, do an act of just something to just glorify God and all his holiness and his grace and what he did for us on that cross. And then for us to commit our way of life to him, you know, in that way. She said, you know, like, I knew exactly what she meant by when she said that, right? It's like, it's just not something like, you know, if I was a betting man when I was 16, if you would have been like, you know, the odds were like 100 to 1 that was going to happen, and I would have definitely taken the one. I would not have bet the 100 chance that that's gonna be the way things go, right? I would have been on the, I don't know betting that well, so that probably didn't make no sense. I'm just saying, like, I would have never taken that bet. I would have never thought that's where, I know for a fact that's not where I would have ever taken myself, but it was really God's work in me that brought me that point of baptism. And all this I'm just trying to say is, like, when she said that, it was like I had so much joy in my heart, you know, for, like, I just felt so close to God, and just so, it was so beautiful that, like, I literally, like, you know what I'm saying, like, I didn't cry. I don't know if, like, what it is, bro, but, like, I felt the tears, like, I felt, like, the tears starting to come out of my eyes, because I was just so happy, like, tears of joy is, like, because I'm always praying about, like, maybe I should be more, like, compassionate with my brother and stuff like that, and that's why I should cry. But it was, like, God was just, like, I'm gonna give you, like, one tear just out of pure happiness over what I can do, right? And it was a beautiful experience. And so just because I was this past weekend, I kind of want to dive into it. And then I think we're going to get into some scripture. We're going to talk about the importance of baptism, if you're listening. And, you know, I just really wanted to at first make a point of, like, the beauty of what comes with it, and, right, having no fear about going about it. And then if you're at a place of nervousness, or, like, what is all does the baptism entail, go talk to your pastor about it. He'll definitely guide you through that, walk you through that. And once you get baptized, you really feel like a new person. You feel like you're walking new. And it says in the scripture, actually, that your sins get washed away throughout that process, right? That's what you're really being made new of, is, like, your sins are just being washed off, and you're getting kind of like a fresh start of, like, you know, this is now how I'm going to walk. And you begin to, you know, I'm repenting now. So.
Yeah, it was probably the coolest day ever. And if you want to see the look on Chris's face, it was literally like indescribable. He was so lit. So if you go on the IG, you know, 79cent_salvation, you'll see all the pics and the videos. And it was just such a beautiful experience. But I just wanted to talk about my experience with baptism a little bit too, because it was so different for me, you know. About 2 years ago, I got baptized.
Almost dropped you in.
And, yeah, I'm a big dude, bro. You know what I mean? And the waves were hitting. The pastor was a little guy. And in my head, I'm like, the devil really trying to keep me under here. Because in the video, you could see literally, like, my feet come up out the water. My head's still under there. I'm struggling to get up. But, you know, God pulled me up out of that water. He pulled me up out of my sin. And so just the difference between, like, when Chris got baptized, when I got baptized, I had no clue what I was doing, you know. I was so new to this. Like, I was just taking every step possible that I thought would get me closer to God, you know. I had been challenged. Someone told me that I was not living as a man of God and that, you know, I needed to, you know, tighten up. And in my head, I'm one of those people, like, you tell me something to do, like, I'm doing everything. You know what I mean? Like, every single box is going to be checked. I'm doing, like, everything in my power to prove you wrong or to get to the point where I want to be at. So, you know, when that happened, I decided, you know, I was like, I want Jesus. I want to become that man of God, but I just don't really know what that means. So I went ahead and signed up for everything the church had to offer. You know what I mean? I was doing Bible studies. I was volunteering. You know, I got out on the traffic team. I signed up for the camp with the kids. I signed up to go on a mission trip. And then the baptism was right after the mission trip. So I was like, perfect. You know, I'll do these things. And then right after this, I'll be a man of God. It'll be sealed. The deal will be sealed. You know what I mean? And little did I know, you know, I was completely in the wrong headspace and heart space. Because I was so focused on what I was doing, I was completely neglecting what God was trying to do in me and through me, you know. Like, I was so focused on my own actions, I was completely neglecting what Jesus did on the cross, you know. And even the humility of Jesus when he got baptized, you know, he got baptized by John the Baptist. He walked 100 miles to go get baptized by a dude, you know. And sure, John the Baptist, you know, he was a special guy. He played a very pivotal role in the Bible, and, you know, that was his role. But it was crazy because, like, Jesus walked all this way to get baptized by him. And instantly, John the Baptist was like, dude, you should be baptizing me. You know what I mean? Like, why would you walk 100 miles to get baptized by me? I should be walking 10 million miles to get baptized by you. And in that moment, Jesus was like, nah, like, you're going to baptize me, John. Like, this is, you know what I'm saying? This is what's going down. And so it said in Matthew 3, verse 16, it said, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice said from heaven, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And so for me, you know, I'm coming off, you know, camp with the kids. You know, I'm trying to spread the light to the kids, even though I don't really know where the light is, you know what I mean? I don't really feel any light in myself, but I'm just trying to teach these kids, you know, like, basically don't do what I did, you know what I mean? I don't know how I ended up here as your counselor, because at that point, I'm, like, a month sober, you know what I'm saying? I'm, like, super crazy, heads all over the place. I'm just buck wild at that point. And then I go on this mission trip, and I'm over here in Guatemala. Like, how did I get here, bro? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in no way qualified to be over here, you know, spreading the word, doing this missionary work and all this stuff. And then even when I got to the baptism, like, I'm walking up to that water and I'm like, dude, I don't deserve this. You know what I mean? I was so defeated because I was trying to do all the right things, but I still felt so empty. I felt so broken. And I felt so just honestly worthless, you know? And so when I look at this chapter in the Bible, these verses right here, you know, how John was like, I'm not worthy, you know what I mean? That was me, you know what I'm saying? I'm not worthy in any way, but it's God's plan, and God perfected that plan to a T, you know what I mean? Because every single step I was taking, you know, it was me seeking God. I just, you know, my heart wasn't in the right place. But then the moment I got dipped in that water, you know, the pastor prayed over me, and he dipped me. When I came out that water, like Chris said, it was such a rush of emotion. There were so many people out there at the beach. You know, people are cheering. People are screaming. My sister comes out, runs in the water, hugs me. My grandma comes running out in the water. She can't even swim. She's like 70 years old. She can't even swim. She runs out in the ocean. And I'm like, bruh. And then my one boy who was like kind of mentoring me, Vinny, he walks up to me and hugs me real hard. And I'm like, really fighting tears at this point. I'm like, all right, Vinny, like, let me go. I gotta get out of here. I'm gonna cry. And so I start walking to the, you know, the little changes spot, the little bathroom, and I get in the stall, dude, and I just started bawling my eyes out for like 30 minutes because I was in there like, I really just got baptized, you know what I mean? Like, all I can see myself as is just this dirty, broken sinner covered in depression and darkness and just pain from the wreckage I've caused in my past. But what God saw was his son. You know, what God saw was a dude who just wanted to grab onto the hope and the light of Jesus Christ. And in that moment, I felt Jesus truly come into my heart, you know, and it was the coolest feeling ever. It was a scary feeling because it was so overwhelming, you know. But what really like kind of brought it all together, like full circle picture, was, you know, being out there this past weekend and getting to actually baptize, like getting to baptize Chris and getting to baptize Benji, you know, because there I was again in the same place where I don't deserve this, you know, like in no way should I be baptizing these people, you know what I mean? But that's where God comes in, right? And God put me there for a reason. You know, God put Chris in my life for a reason and Benji in my life for a reason. And just in that moment, when I was praying over them in that water, about to dip them, there was nothing else in the world that mattered. There was not one single thing. Like, no people on the beach, no music, no pastors behind me, no nothing. It was just me, Chris, and God. You know what I'm saying? It was me, Benji, and God. And in that moment, it was so still and it was so calm. And I just felt the true peace of God just pour over that situation, you know, and
facts, bro.
Bro, it was nothing. That's it was just, facts, it was literally like, it was nothing. It was nothingness. It was literally just that. And
quiet.
Bro, that's silence. Good, it's like bro. Someone hit the mute button. Yeah. And I, like, they were recording, obviously. And so when I looked at the video, I had prayed over Chris for like 2 minutes. And I felt like I said 3 words and I dipped him. You know, and then Benji comes out and same thing, boom. It's like 2 minutes of prayer and then I dip him. But that was like, for me, bro, that was what it felt like to abide in God's love, you know, to baptize, you know, to dip somebody in the water, letting them declare to the world their faith, you know. And then also for me, it was so special because it's like 2 years ago I got baptized. And everyone loved it. You know what I'm saying? People were like, I posted on my Instagram, obviously, you know, because it's the point of baptism. It's an outward expression of an inward feeling. And so I'm just letting the world know, look, I'm baptized now. I'm going to be trying my best to move a little different. You know, I'm not better than anybody. You know, in no way does this, you know, kind of separate me from anyone. It just shows, you know what I'm saying, what I'm feeling on the inside, this faith that I'm trying to tap into. And so now it's like they seen 2 years ago this dirty baser who was just super crazy get baptized. And then 2 years later, you know what I'm saying, he's out here baptizing two people. And not anything to me, bro. That's all glory to God. Because like Chris said, if the bets were there, you know, we would have both been millionaires right now because we would not have bet. Or no, we would have been negative. What is it? Negative. I don't even know how to bet, bro. See, yeah. Hey, I'm not, you know, if Prize Picks hit us up for a sponsorship, I'm not taking it because I'm going to lose all my money. You just seen how bad that betting thing went.
Yeah,
me and Chris would be negative millionaires because we would not have chosen this. You know, it's truly, it's God's plan. It's his perfect hand of just favor placed on us. You know what I mean? It's the divine intervention. It's something that I could never do on my own. It's simply just God doing what I couldn't do for myself, you know? And it's so beautiful how he orchestrated this past weekend, you know, because me and Chris, we've been talking about him getting baptized for a minute. There was one point where it was late night. We were in this dirty little spot. And I was like, bro, let me baptize you in this puddle. You know what I'm saying? And we were about to do it, but it was just like, nah, that wasn't God's plan. You know what I mean? And so here we are today. And it's like, bro, it couldn't have been any more perfect, you know what I mean? And then even after Chris gets out the water, he's dumb lit, and this girl comes up and interviews him, and he was on there just preaching, you know what I'm saying? And then now, you know, God's just moving in such a special way, and it's literally just all glory to him. It's literally just the Holy Spirit just has truly coming into our hearts and our minds and our souls and has taken over. And it's so cool to see what happens when you're willing, you know, you make yourself available, and then you see beautiful stuff like this happen. And, you know, all week people have been asking me about it, and I just been like, dude, honestly, if I could, like, I would full-time do this. would full time just be traveling the world baptizing people. Like, it would be so lit, you know what I'm saying? But right now, that's not what God's called me to. You know, God has called me right now to share my experiences, you know what I'm saying, with the people I come into contact with and walk in his light. And then who knows, maybe, you know, that'll open a door for someone who didn't feel comfortable getting baptized in a big setting. You know, if you're that person, you know, hit us up. We would love to come together with you. We would love to take you out to the beach or the pool or wherever, bro. Puddle, anything. And we'll baptize you. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. What, you got some?
Yeah, bro. Nah, literally while I was sitting here, bro, I was like, dang, we could put it on the IG, bro. Like two months, have a beach baptism ourselves. Yeah. Bro, even if only like 4 people came out there to get baptized, bro.
Yeah.
That would be so lit.
Nah, but for real, we're really trying to plug this Instagram because I think it's really a powerful vessel. You know, so many people have access to it. So seriously, like, the point of this Instagram is not to bring glory to us, is to you know, broaden the spectrum of, like, who we can reach, you know? So if you follow us, you know, share it, repost it, tag people, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever you got to do, because the goal is, you know, that's going to be a safe place for people to come on there and send us prayer requests, things that we can be praying over for you, you know? And even the Instagram's only been up one day, and today I had one of my homies, she hit me up for prayer, and, you know, I prayed with her, and it was beautiful, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's just, we want to create a safe space where you can find your relationship with God. It doesn't have to be big and crazy. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. It can just be your relationship, your walk. So, like, seriously, if you're in a place where you want to know more about God, or you want to, you know, maybe take that next step, me and Chris are here simply as vessels, you know, to help connect you to this beautiful love that we found in Jesus Christ. You know, that's literally the whole reason we're here, the whole reason we record this podcast at 12:15 on a Friday night. You know what I'm saying? We're in the car right now. Things got a little crazy at the crib tonight, but you know what? We're here, and we love it, and we're so grateful for y'all for just even listening. So, yeah. Tap in IG 79cent_salvation.
Nah, and just to Wally's point about Instagram is, like, right now, like, we can only talk to you guys, but now is, like, you have the opportunity to talk to us as well. You can DM us different stuff. Like, that's an open vessel for so much stuff. We can plug you into churches too. We can lead you in the right direction with that type of stuff. You know, the whole goal of the podcast is to, you know, the commission, the Great Commission. We're just trying to spread the word of God, right? That's all this is, right? And it's like, really, right, we're just seed planters, hopefully. We're, because me and Wally both got, you know, we lived in sin for a long time, so that means we got a lot of people we know who live in sin. So, and our lives have been changed so much by Jesus. It's like, we're all over social media and stuff, and everyone we come in contact with, right, we're trying to just show them what God can do, right? Not necessarily any glory to us, just like trying to lead and push that stuff. But we can only do so much talking to you. So if you get onto the Instagram, you know, you can get, like you said, prayer request, really anything. If you got questions, right, questions about scripture that you want answered, things you don't understand or stuff like that, you can send it to them. Oh, we'll bring it up on the pod and everything. You know, it's that's the real, I think, really what we're trying to do with the Instagram, really. But also too, I mean, let us know, honestly, just go on the Instagram, let us know if you think, I mean, we'll push it out for a couple months, that way, you know, if we're getting
people get baptized?
Nah, I can't even remember, my brain just was like, nah, just shut off, yeah. But, like, you know, if we start getting a lot of people who do want to go out there and get baptized, right, if we get DMs about it and stuff, even if it's not a lot of people, but if we can get, like, 2 people even that say, like, hey, will you guys baptize me, like, we'll just go out there and do it, you know what I mean? That's definitely something that I want to do it now. I want to baptize somebody now that Wally, I know it's a fire experience, dude. Just praying over somebody's a fire experience. So actually dipping them in that water, couldn't imagine, dude. I bet you that's just the most. And to Wally's point, dude, it really was. I didn't even think about it, honestly, but it was like complete silence and stillness. So, you know, to actually get into scripture, though, on this baptism, right? So this is what I'll say is, like, I think one way that people view baptism is, like, you go in that water and, like, now, like, everything's cool, everything's okay, I'm going to heaven, like, everything's straight, or, like, you get the Holy Spirit right there, like, you're going to have this magnificent experience where, like, you know, God's just going to pour out in you, and, like, you know, some of those things might happen, but it's none of that's promised through a baptism. Really, like, the whole point of it is it's a sign of repentance, right? And this guy Raheem that goes to, shout out Raheem, to the church that I go to. So on Friday nights I go over there, and you know, it's, we talk scripture and all that stuff, and but he said something that really hit me. It was like, so many people will say that Jesus is their savior, but that won't get them saved. It's Jesus has to be your Lord. And I knew exactly what he meant when he said that, is like, we will take God's grace, we'll take his mercy, we'll take his, you know, his love, we'll take everything like that, but we just don't want to follow him, right? Like, our hearts are still attached to this world and stuff like that, and our flesh is still full of sin, and so it's like, you know, I don't, you know, it's like, I want to be saved so I can be in heaven for eternity, but I don't want to follow what God's trying to have me do, right? And that's the whole point of, like, going through a baptism. It's a sign of repentance to where, like, I actually change my actions. I now become a new person, and that doesn't come with, like, it's not easy. I can tell you from firsthand experience, having lived in sin and then now repenting for my sins and walking a new way of life is, like, it's difficult, right? Because I know what the world has to offer, and you get an attachment to it, and it holds you in this cell of prison. But walking faithfully with Christ is, like, slowly but surely, it's like he's really teaching me, and I'm really learning that, like, to walk with Christ is a life fulfilled with, like Wally said, peace and love and all these beautiful blessings that I have, right? But it just takes time, right? Like, those first months walking in the faith where you're just trying to be, you know, a new creation is, like, you know, God does play a serious role. You got bugs in your whip, dog. That's one bug, why one bug is enough bugs, bro. He's flying around now. He's on the computer, bro. Smack the computer. All right, that was yeah, bro. You tripping? But I forget what I was saying now, bro. That bug really distracted me. But yeah, no, yeah, I do know what I'm saying. So it is, it's like a walking in obedience. For me, too, personally, it was like, it was a fight, but it was like, eventually, like, I surrendered my will over to God and was just like, this is the life that I want. Just through continually seeing the blessings that he has to offer. And honestly, really reading the word. Like, I talk so much about reading the word because the word has the power to change your heart. Really, what I have is issues with my heart. I have issues with the way that I think. I have sin in my flesh. I think the world has something to give me, you know. But the truth that's in the scripture, right, will continue to tell me and continue to teach me and show me that, you know, if I really want life, if I really want, you know, freedom, if I really want love, if I really want, you know, healthy relationships, if I really want, you know, things that I seek out in the world, you know, prosperity, all that stuff, right? Like, things that I seek in the world to fulfill me of those things, right? If I really read the word and I really grow with God and I really, you know, build that connection, that's when I get those things. I don't, you know, the devil's a liar. He wants me to believe that this world has something to offer me. But it's like, when I'm reading the word, it just changes my heart. You know, God does the growth inside of me to where I, all glory to God. He's done all the changes in me. He's the one who's taken away sin in my life. But it comes with, like, actually getting into the word, like, actually saying prayers, actually doing different changes in my life, right? And that's really what, for me, the baptism is saying, is, like, I'm not the person that I was, right? I'm a born-again person. And you know what? Actually, I'll explain that really quick, and I'll give the mic over to Wally. I used to hear people all the time say born again, and if you actually read in John, it's Nicodemus and Jesus, right? Nicodemus is like, what do you mean about born again, right? Like, Jesus is trying to teach him about born again. And even when I read it, I was like, you know, everybody kept saying, like, born again. And I was like, in my head, I just imagine, like, God is just going to, like, you know, spontaneously just, like, take everything evil from me, and life's just going to be good, and I'm just going to have to remain faithful until that happens. And really what it is like I'm talking about, being born again is a repentance, is like a, I've been opened up to new life, right? And really what scripture has revealed to me, as far as what I can tell, is that being born of God, that's what the scripture says. So not being born of man and woman, but being born of God. So I have my birth, right? I came out of my mom's womb. I almost said that in a crazy way. Right? I came out of my mom's womb, right? I'm born of man and woman, right? I'm born of flesh. That's my first birth. The birth that we're talking about, the birth that comes of God, is the one of the Holy Spirit, right? When that Holy Spirit falls on me, I become adopted into sonship, right? And what that means is that's when you become a child of God. Not every person you meet is a child of God. Only the people who have the Holy Spirit are actually children of God. And so as soon as I get that Holy Spirit inside of me, I become adopted, and so I become born of God. I'm no longer just born of man, of evil flesh. Right now I'm born of something holy, right? And so the baptism, right, is kind of like a sign of this new life that I'm going to start walking, right? My declaration for it, right? So,
amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so just some scripture that stood out to me. We're talking about baptism, you know, because it's good, you know, it's good to have our personal experience, but it's also so many accounts of people getting baptized in the Bible, you know. And so in this verse, it was in Colossians 2, and it was 12 to 13. It said, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us for all our sins. So the way I look at the baptism, you know, is like we go under the water, and we're this dead, broken sinner. And when we're under the water, you know, all that is taken away by the blood of Jesus. We're washed clean, we're made new, and we come out of the water, and we are now sons of God. We are daughters of God. We've been adopted into the family. You know, our names have been written in the book of life. And when I was reading that, you know, I was kind of just, it was kind of going in my head. It's like, so just in a practical, you know, kind of little analogy. So when we're under the water, we can't breathe, right? Like, we're not fish. We can't breathe underwater. And so what that was making me think of is, like, when we're in that life full of sin, it can get so heavy. You know what I'm saying? There's so much pain. Everything's out of control. You have anxiety. You're full of fear. You know, it's like, think about it. If you struggle with anxiety or depression, you get those little panic attacks where, you know, it feels like your heart stopped. Like, you can't breathe. There's just so much going on. Like, it's too crazy. It's too much craziness. Your head's going a million miles an hour. You're trying to figure everything out, or you're trying to get yourself out of some sticky situation. You know what I mean? And so then when you get brought out of the water in baptism, then the weight of sin has been lifted. You know, you have found the true freedom that is in Jesus Christ. You're baptized. You've now received the Holy Spirit, who's going to guide you. You know, you're showing the world, you're telling the world, look, I am a born again Christian. I'm made brand new. I'm no longer my past. I'm no longer my mistakes or the pain, the wreckage of yesterday. Today I am brand new in the eyes of Jesus. And it's kind of like, you know, so you come out of that water, you can breathe, and that's the feeling I get from Jesus today. The love of God gives me the chance to just breathe, you know. Everything's gonna be okay in moments of chaos, in moments of headache or heartbreak or pain, whatever the case may be. It's like I can breathe because I know God is with me and God is for me. I know that no matter what's going on in this world, like, I'm forever saved. My salvation cannot be taken away, you know. And that salvation didn't come through the physical act of baptism, you know. It came through me putting my faith in Jesus Christ. It came through me accepting Jesus into my heart. And, you know, in that verse in Romans where it says you accept Jesus in your heart and you declare it with your mouth, that's the key to salvation, right? And so in this case, when we're speaking on baptism, you know, it's a physical act that people are going to see. And so we're showing the world what's going on inside of us, you know, that there's something new. God's moving us in a special way that we want to show everybody, you know. And so it's just so cool to know today that it's like, now as I move through the day, as I move through life, you know, like, I'm accounted for. You know, God has got me in the palm of his hands. His hand of protection is over me. You know, he's got angels flying all around us at all times because he just loves us so much and he wants the best for his kids. You know, and it's like, what better family to be a part of than God? You know what I'm saying? Like, you are now a ambassador for the kingdom. You're representing the kingdom of heaven, you know what I mean? And that can come with responsibility, you know? And that's what I came to in Galatians 3. It says, For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. You know, so we've decided, we made the decision to put on Jesus. Every day we wake up and we put on Jesus. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing. But like I said, that comes with responsibilities, you know, because now we have to walk in a way that honors God. You know, we're supposed to bring light to his kingdom. We're supposed to move differently, you know, walk different than the way we were moving before this declaration of our faith, you know, because it's like, if you were undercover Christian before and you out here sinning, you out here acting crazy and all that stuff, it's like, it's not really doing no damage. But if you're boldly declaring your faith, but then over here, you know what I'm saying, you making it rain and you, you know, smoking meth and you doing all this crazy stuff.
Who's smoking meth? Claiming the word, bro. I've
never seen
it.
Oh, that'd be lit. But no, but I'm saying, you know, it's like now we're held accountable, you know, by God. And it's like we gotta, if we're gonna put on Jesus, we gotta really put on, you know what I'm saying? We gotta suit up every day, because it's like, for me, just for example, you know what I mean, I had a moment where I was convicted pretty hard in the shop a couple weeks ago. You know, I had a couple of my clients in there and they were like, bro, I remember when Wally, when I first met him, you know, we used to be smoking and bumping that all that new crazy music, you know what I'm saying? And then now it's like, I remember he got baptized and he's listening to like Kurt Franklin in the shop and he's being all peaceful and he's not cussing and all this stuff. And in my head, I'm like, that was like almost 2 years ago. Like, how am I still, you know, putting on Jesus every day? Am I still, you know, representing the kingdom? Not as good. You know what I'm saying? Not as good as I was, because I was so, like, it was so fresh, it was so new. But today it's easy to get comfortable. You know what I mean? It's easy to be like, ah, I'm good, I'm saved, I just can, you know what I'm saying, do whatever now. And, you know, that moment did convict me, because it's like, it's not on me, you know what I'm saying? It's not on me to do everything right or be perfect. I'm not going to get baptized and all of a sudden be this perfect man who's no longer sinning, you know what I'm saying, who no longer does anything wrong. But what I am now is a, you know what I'm saying, I'm an ambassador. I got to put on for the kingdom. And that took me to a cool story, and it's in Acts 16, and it's where Paul and Timothy, they're going around and they're baptizing people, that, you know, they were spreading the word to people. And they came across this lady who, she was making a lot of money. She was like someone's servant. And she was telling fortunes, like she was telling the future, basically. And so when Paul and Timothy came along, she was like, these are men of God. They're spreading the truth. They're spreading the word. And Paul and Timothy, they had the Holy Spirit in them. So they were able to recognize that there was a dark spirit within her. And so in the name of Jesus, they casted out this demon, right? And so, boom, she no longer has the ability to tell these fortunes. And so now her master is like, bro, now we can't get...
Was it her parents? Her parents.
Oh, her parents.
We're selling her.
Okay, yeah. That's even deeper, bro. Her parents were selling her basically to the devil to make some money. You know what I'm saying? She was able to tell these fortunes and future of people because she was possessed by a dark spirit. And Paul and Timothy, you know what I'm saying, they are men who are baptized. They're part of the family, they're kingdom ambassadors, and they're representing the kingdom. So they're like, forget the money, you got a demon, you like, we're gonna cast that out, you know what I'm saying, so you can receive the freedom of Jesus. And her parents weren't so happy about that, so what they do, they dragged Paul and Timothy into the town, and it said that everybody in the town just started jumping them. They were beating them with rods and rocks and all this stuff, just beat them boys down, you know what I mean, and then threw them in jail. And so at that point, what happens? Paul and Timothy, they're in jail. It would have been easy to have been like, oh man, is this, you know what I'm saying, is this even worth it, dude? We're trying to do good, we're casting out demons, we're baptizing people, and look at us. You know what I'm saying? We're in jail. We're sitting here in prison, and this is not no luxury prison. This is some hardcore activity, you know what I mean? So basically, they're in prison, and what do? They do what men of God would, you know what I'm saying? They're worshiping, they're praying, they're singing hymns in the prison, and the other prisoners are hearing this, you know, they're witnessing to these other prisoners, you know what I mean? And think about it, that's bringing hope to these people who are in prison, because the people who are in prison, they've probably been in there a little minute. They don't know what Paul and Timothy did. But what they see is like, okay, these dudes are in prison, and they're still worshiping this God, you know? They still have this joy and this peace, even though they're in a terrible situation. You know, and that just quick shout out makes me think of my boy EI the King, you know what I mean? Forever convict. Follow him on Instagram. He's a legend, dude. He runs an organization called Block Hustle, you know what I mean? And he did 12 years in prison, and the minute even when he was in there still, he was preaching, he was spreading the word, he was evangelizing, and then now he's been out about 2 years, and every single moment of every day, he has been doing his absolute best to spread the word of God. And he goes back into prisons and preaches, you know, recently went to USF and gave a message to them, and man, that's just a good dude, a bold man of God, so shout out my boy. But, yeah, so they're witnessing to these prisoners, right? And it said that they worshiped so hard that there was basically like an earthquake that just completely destroyed the prison. The prison fell apart, and not one prisoner ran out of there. Not one prisoner escaped, but the guard was so worried. You know what I'm saying? He was so freaked out because he's like, dude, if I lose these prisoners, like, I'm going to be killed. You know, like, whoever's in charge of him is going to kill him. You know, this is punishment for losing these prisoners. And so it said when the prison doors flew open, everyone's chains came loose, the jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the officers sent to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." And, we'll stop right there because it gets a lot more. But so just think about this, you know, Paul and Timothy, they're leading by example. They're doing what men of God are supposed to do, what they're called to do. And in a time where it would have been easy to take the easy route, you know what I'm saying? They could have easily got right out of that prison. But they stayed and they comforted this jail guard. Think about this. The guard of this jail was about to take his sword out and just kill himself because he was so overwhelmed. There was so much going on. He just felt hopeless, you know what I mean? And what did that dude do? He remembered what Paul and Silas were doing. They were singing, they were praying, and he knew they were men of God. So he reached out to them. "How can I become saved?" And so what did they do? Boom. They prayed with him. They spoke scripture over him, you know what I'm saying? And they said, "By your faith, your household will be saved." You know, so look what happens when we just hold each other accountable and we walk by the example Jesus has laid for us. You know what I'm saying? Now it's not just the one person we come into contact with that we might speak Jesus about, you know what I'm saying? That person is then going to take that, and because of their faith, their household's going to be saved, you know what I'm saying? And then even take it back to Old Testament on some Exodus stuff, it says, "For those who love me, thousands of generations will be saved by your faith," you know what I'm saying? So we're not just talking about one or two people's salvation, we're talking about generations of salvation that come from being baptized and then moving how a man who's been baptized and a man who's been saved is called to move, you know. So that was just some cool stuff that stuck out to me and just you know, kind of opened my eyes, convicted me a little bit for sure, because I definitely miss opportunities where I think I could have maybe acted a little better, maybe where I could have spoke a little bit more on Jesus, but you know what? I trust in his good and perfect plan. You know, I am not perfect. I never will claim to be, but what I am is saved. And I would love for everybody to come to know that freedom that I found in Jesus.
Yes, sir. So I'm going to read Romans 6. I'm just going to read from the top to the bottom. So it's talking about being dead in your sins. Romans is a very good book. One thing I want to say, too, just before I get into this is, and this is what I try to remember now to tell people this, because whenever I first started reading scripture, I had no guidance with it. I didn't really have people around me that could explain things to me. All that I knew was that Jesus is going to be my Lord and Savior, right? And so I just kept reading scripture, and what ended up happening was I was super convicted, because when I read scripture, I was doing everything that the Bible was telling people not to do. And like a big thing that I was seeing in scripture was like the way that you know if you're truly saved is how you walk, right? And so something James actually talks about, he says faith without works is dead. And what he means by that is that if you truly believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you'll know it by the way that you live your life, right? And so you get convicted, and then you get to a place of fear of like, well, am I really saved then? Because do I really have the faith? And those are all good questions to ask. And if you get to a point where you tell yourself, because I got to a point where I said, I don't truly believe, truly, like, I'd say a year and a half ago, like, I'm like 6 months into, you know, saying I believe, but not really believing, really is what it was. And that's when, you know, I was still sinning, but I was starting to make a true attempt to live by the scripture. And so if you start reading scripture and you get convicted, you really should, right? Like, if you've been living in the world for however long you've been living in the world, and you've been walking that way, and you've been doing drugs and going to the strip club and going out to the club, or if you're struggling with homosexuality, if you're struggling with, you know, you're idolatry, or if you're you know, addicted, you love money, or even if you're just a very prideful, very arrogant person, right? Like any of those things, right? It's all talked about in scripture. Maybe you hate your the people around you, you're very hateful, you're angry, right? Like it's gonna happen, right? If that's how you've been living your life, you're gonna read scripture and you're gonna be very convicted, and it's not a bad place to be, right? The thing that's preached is grace and mercy. What Jesus Christ did for us on the cross was so that we could be saved. Repentance is just, you know, there's this guy, he's like 86 years old, he's been walking in the faith for a long time. What he says is that when you accept Christ, you're not going to be sinless, you're just going to sin less. And I love that, right? Yeah, it's a bar. I love it because it's true. It's like what I see is growth in the past 2 years. What I don't see is that I'm a perfect person today, right? And that's going to be the rest of my life, and it's just going to be this continual growth. I just continue to become, you know, a better person, right? Like God continue to change, you know, it's really God is doing the work. God changes me from the inside out, right? What the world sees is really what God's done inside of me, right? Inside my heart, you know, with the Holy Spirit and all that stuff. With that being said, right, like we talk about all the goodness of baptism, and it's so much beauty, and it's so much better than the life that I used to live. Something that is not talked about so much is giving up that sin in our life, right? And so it says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Right? And so that's kind of what I was alluding to, is that, so this is, my bad, Romans chapter 6, and it's right from verse 1, and I'm going to read through it. That's what I was trying to say, though, is that, right, so because we know that we have grace, right, there's a lot of people who say, okay, well, I'm saved, I'm forgiven, and they continue to walk in sin, right? And so this is a topic that Paul ends up touching on. By no means, right? So no, just because God is graceful, it doesn't mean that you just live in sin. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. What you're doing, right, in the baptism is you're dying to your old ways, you're dying to your old self, you're dying to sin. You're saying, I'm done with that way of life, and you get this new life. That's what it is, the born again. I'm now born in Christ, right? I'm now going to walk according to Christ, right? And the pastor at the church I go to, he made a great point. He just said, everyone looks at the things that we have to do, and it's like you got all the different types of believers, right? You got the person who's like, you know, who reads the word and is like, I'm good on that, right? Doesn't even try. Then you got the person who reads the word, believes it, and then just struggles, like doesn't do it. You got the person who strong arms it, right? Is like, I don't want to, but I'm gonna do it. Starts trying to walk in the faith. You got the person who says, you know, I'm going to do it, right? The disciplined person, you know, I've lived a disciplined life, I'm going to do it. And then you got the person who says, I want to do it. And that's the point that we should all get to, is just like, I know what freedom, what beauty, what new life is. I know what Christ is. I know who Christ is. Christ knows who I am. That's the life I want to live. I want to walk with Christ. I don't want to watch porn. I don't want to be addicted to porn. I don't want to do drugs. I don't want to be addicted to drugs. I don't want to lust at women. I don't want to stare at them when I'm you know, when you're at the beach and you're like, dang, surrounded by baddies, don't even want to look at them, right? Just want to glory in God, right? Like, I'm just saying, help me please, right? It's like, and it starts happening. God really starts changing my heart into this way where it's like, I don't want that. I literally become, like it says, you just start becoming dead to that sin, right? And it's a process, and it's growth, and it takes time, you know. We'll talk so much about, you know, all the great stuff, and now you get grace and you're saved and all this stuff, and 100% true. But that comes with the walk, like the actual walk with Christ, right? And it's like, this is what I'll say, is like, if you truly believe that you're saved and you're going to spend eternity in heaven, right? It's like, you should really want to walk this way, because this is what heaven's going to be like, right? All heaven is just eternity with God. Right, that's really what it comes down to. And then all hell is life without God, right? And so it's like, if I'm walking with God, I want to walk in the way that he's told me to walk, how his commands were, whatever he tells me to do, right? Like, I really want that. I can share this too, just based on how, this is an example of how changed my heart is. I get sick like freaking once a week, I feel like one week for every month basically, and I was sick this week. And usually when I get sick, like, I'm not reading scripture, I just go home, I go to sleep trying to heal up. And it was nuts, because God really like put it on my heart of just like, all week I just kept thinking like, there's going to be a time when I die, and then this is just, I'm never going to have to be sick again, right? Like, the struggles that we go through here on earth, they're temporary for the believers. For the believers, there's going to be a time where there is no sickness, there's no death, there's no contempt for people around me, there's no contempt for myself, there's no betrayal, there's no evil, there's nothing but just beauty, just glory of God, just peace of mind, just love, grace, right? And I was, you know, it's crazy, but it's like, I can have so much of that today here on earth, right? Like, a lot of that is already been opened up, right? It says when Jesus dies, right, the veil is torn. And what that meant is, there used to be a veil between man and God. And there would be one day of the year where man could go and speak with God for the atonement of sins. And when Jesus died on that cross, the veil was torn. So now we have this complete access to God. There's no need for any sacrifices or anything like that, that Jesus was the Lamb and he did die for my sins. So it's like, I have full access to God today. And there's been nothing that's more important to me than that, right? Sometimes I get into a sinful mind or something like that, and I think there is, but it's temporary, right? Like, God always, he reels me back in. He just reminds me of his glory, of his beauty, of who he is, of his person, of his character, right? And then that becomes so beautiful, you know, that becomes so important. Nothing else in this world really ends up mattering, right? And really, I think it, the whole goal of like this podcast was like, just for the sinner who is listening right now, like, me and Wally were sinners. And for me, I'll speak for myself, like, I was seeking out a means of purpose in life, of meaning, of something, right? Because literally from like a young age, I've always felt out of place, and I've always felt like, what's the point of all of this life? There's so much pain and suffering around me, right? And I know what it is today, right? It's Jesus Christ, and it's glorifying him. It's spreading what he did, right? The actions that he took for us as mankind, right? And so it's like, I've lived in hell. I've lived life so separated from God. And I've also got to live in life being like so close to him that, you know, I felt like I was on heaven on earth, and I'll take this life with any pain and suffering that it has, because there's still pain and suffering in the walk with Christ, but I'll take this over that any day of the week. That baptism was, that was my sign of that, of like, this is the life that I want to live. I don't want to live that other life anymore. It has nothing for me, and I've seen example after example after example that this life has all the beauty in it. Even if there is pain, even if there is suffering, right, that there's something magnificent and something holy separate. Holy means to be separate from, and there is something separate about this walk. There is something separate about Jesus that doesn't compare to anything that this world has to offer. And so I really encourage anyone who's listening, who's thinking about taking that step of faith, to just dive on in. Yeah.
You got anything else you want to close out? Yeah, way to end it with a bang, brother. All right. Yeah, man, I mean, clearly me and Chris, we don't got everything figured out, but from this one decision, you know, of accepting Jesus, look at all the beauty it's brought, you know. And so I just encourage y'all. It's only 2 years, so think about it. You know, God's will, good and perfect. That should be our constant prayer. Thy will be done. And so far, his will has been pretty lit, dude. So if you don't know what you're doing, if you're feeling lost, like you got no purpose, like you're, you know what I'm saying, worthless, hopeless, or just, you know what I mean, you're trying to find yourself, you know, the only advice I would give anybody, you know, because I'm not a genius, I'm not a life coach, I'm not a financial advisor, you know what I'm saying, but what I can tell you is, you know, keeping Jesus at the root, you know, at the forefront of every single aspect of my life has brought peace, has brought abundance, has brought, you know, the reuniting of friends, family, loved ones, has brought everything exactly how it's supposed to be. And I'm so grateful for that, you know. So just find your purpose in Jesus, you know. Put Jesus in front of your finance, put Jesus in front of your relationships, in front of your goals, you know, and trust that whatever his will be done. You know, the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we trust that, if we believe that and we receive that, then everything will go exactly how it's supposed to. You know what I'm saying? It's going to go how it's supposed to regardless. But if you're trusting that, you're going to find some peace in it. So let's just close out with a quick moment of prayer. Yeah, just thank you all for listening once again. 79cent_salvation on IG. Keep sending in them prayer requests, any questions, anything that's on your heart.
Are you praying for the one on here, or just you did it in person?
Yeah, I'm gonna pray for what?
I didn't know if that's
We're gonna pray it out. Anybody sends in a request, you know what I'm saying? We'll pray it up on here for you too, you know what I'm saying? But if you want to be private, yeah, let us know in advance. But this one, sorry, Angie, you getting the prayer. All right. Dear God, we just thank you so much, Lord, for just this opportunity to come before you, to step into your presence, God. Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us in this moment. And, Lord, just to fill anyone who's listening, God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, this was a message that just sparked a fire in their heart, God. Lord, I pray that it brought clarity on maybe some things they're feeling, some emotions or questions they had, God. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you would continue to use me and Chris as vessels, Lord, to bring glory to your name, God. And Lord, I just want to uplift my friend Angie in prayer right now, God. Lord, I just pray a hedge of protection over her and her family, God, over her and her marriage, God, and over every single aspect of her life, God. Lord, I know right now things may not be perfect, Lord. They may not be great, but Lord, I pray that she knows she has a good and perfect God, a good and perfect Father in heaven who loves her, who is protecting her, who is accounting for every step she takes, God. So Lord, I pray that you would fill her heart with your love. Lord, you would give her the confidence and boldness to speak your name, to speak life over others. And Lord, just bring her family, Lord, together. Bring them into your hedge of protection, God. And Lord, we just pray over every single listener, God, that, Lord, this would be a place where they feel safe to come in and just come as they are and just find a real relationship with you, God. Lord, we pray that so many, Lord, would just come to know you, God, that, Lord, you would save every single one of your children, God, and just bring your light and glory into this world as you do so perfectly, God. Lord, in your almighty name we pray, God. Amen.